Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. I'm Jonathan Burness and I'm joined once again by my co-host, Ezra Benjamin. Well, with so much devastation and suffering going on in the last few years, from the pandemic to the war to economic upheaval, I've heard many people ask the question, what else is there? There must be more. What happens to us after we die? I've even dealt with this personally in my own family over the last few years. The afterlife can be a challenging topic for many. But you know, Ezra, people are asking. People want to know more. In the difficult times, people are thinking about what else there must be. There must be more.
Sure. When anything disrupts the status quo, right? When anything disrupts the comfort of our normal day-to-day routines, it causes us to kind of ask those more eternal questions. And Jonathan, so often, you know, when you're sharing the good news about Jesus, about Yeshua the Messiah with Jewish communities and non-Jewish communities, so often you boil it down to these two very important questions. Why am I here? And what happens when I die, right? That's really what it all comes down to. And times like the turbulent circumstances you mentioned here just bring those questions into focus.
They
bring
them
into the front of our mind.
And they're two questions that every person, regardless of their economic situation, mm-hmm. regardless of their nationality,
right.
regardless of anything to do with background,
sure.
every person has to face those two questions in this life.
Absolutely. And I'm thinking of, you know, there's religious systems or belief systems all around the world. And when you peel back the layers, you really find those systems trying to answer those questions. What's my purpose, right? We all want to understand, what's our purpose? I don't just exist. I must have a purpose. And what happens when the way I'm living now ceases to be? What happens when I enter eternity? Is there even an eternity, or do I just cease to exist?
Yeah, and unfortunately, when things are going well, most people don't bother to ask those questions
right.
or try to answer them. It's not something that's necessary to deal with.
Sure.
That's one of the good things that I think has come out of the pandemic and out of what I think at least for the standard of living that we've been used to in the West, is forcing us to ask again, because we've been through hardship, at least by our standards.
Right.
Now, we go over to Ethiopia.
Sure.
We work a lot in Africa. I was living right after the fall of communism in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very different standard of living, a very
sure.
different definition of suffering and
sure.
hardship. But for what we're accustomed to in the West, this has been a really hard time.
Exactly. And so that brings us to the question of this idea of the afterlife, thinking about that second very important question, what happens when we die? Jonathan, you've spent significant time in recent days actually interviewing people who have had near-death experiences, who have clinically died and then come back to life. And you've learned some really interesting things.
Yeah, I started this a long time ago because I wanted to hear from people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't actually talk to many people that had a near-death experience. I talked to people that died.
Wow.
They died. They either
clinically, they're gone.
Well, there's two kinds of death, Ezra. That's something I learned in this process.
Mm-hmm.
There is clinical death,
right?
But there's also biological death. And one is much longer than the other. So you can clinically die and be pronounced dead,
mm-hmm.
and people have come back to life
sure.
without a supernatural explanation.
Right.
When you are biologically dead, you have a Lazarus situation. You
wow.
stinketh.
And people have come back to life.
And people have come back to life.
Amazing.
And I've met people and interviewed people sure. that were biologically dead. There is no human explanation whatsoever. I've seen the medical records,
mm-hmm.
and they died and were dead for a long period of time.
Wow.
I mean, there's no way that they could have come back to life. They
sure.
were their heart had stopped. They were brain dead for a long enough time that there's no explanation.
So either clinically dead or biologically dead, we can say at least this is an unusual experience, if not a supernatural one.
Yeah, it was a very important project for me because I wanted to pick people that were really credible.
Okay.
And I met really credible people mm-hmm. whose lives were completely changed. One in particular that I'll mention was an atheist. He was a professor, art professor, who died in Europe. And he was dead for a significantly long period of time. And he actually wandered in the afterlife. And now wow. he's a very, very strong believer. That experience, as you can imagine, completely changed him.
Now, what about that experience brought him from refusal to believe that there's a God at all to actually being a believer in Jesus?
He experienced the afterlife.
Okay.
And he saw that there's more to this life than this life. We're not our body. We live in a body, mm-hmm. but we are spirit. We live eternally.
We're an eternal being.
And I've always believed that ever since I was a little boy and my grandfather died suddenly, Ezra. He died when I was six, and his death was kind of masked in mystery. We weren't allowed to go to the funeral. My siblings and I weren't allowed to go. I think that that's not untypical of Judaism, mm-hmm. where there's this unknowing, and so you protect the children
right.
from the trauma.
Sure.
But I wanted to know. I believed that there was something more to this life, and I believed I had a purpose. And I think those things are connected together.
Exactly.
And in fact, according to Scripture, they are very closely tied together mm-hmm. because the decisions you make in this life will affect your eternity.
Right. It doesn't just have to do with today, the consequences for today, but the Scriptures are clear, Old Testament and New Testament. There's this idea of the eternal consequence of the choices we make. God is sovereign over all, and yet He's given us this ability to make choices which have far-reaching, even eternal consequences as it relates to what we do and don't believe about Jesus.
Yeah, I think most people believe in an afterlife, mm-hmm. even those that say they're atheists. I've heard it said that there's no atheists in foxholes. I don't know if that's entirely true, but people want to believe that there's something beyond this life. This life, the Bible says, is like a vapor. It's a very short period of time, and I think just the way that we're wired as humans, we want to believe there's more, and there is more. That's the good news. There is more.
Jonathan, I'm curious to know more details about the research that you did. I mean, what kinds of questions were you asking these people? Was there a variety of people you interviewed? Was everybody reliable? Were some people not?
So the research process was a pretty significant period of time. Mm-hmm. I hired a researcher that I work with. This went on for about a year, and we were looking for a few things. One, what does the Old Testament have to say about heaven and hell, the afterlife?
Sure.
What does the New Testament have to say about the afterlife, mm-hmm. heaven, hell, and what is behind the veil?
Sure.
What does extra biblical sources have to say about an afterlife?
Okay.
And then we interviewed 12 to 14 people extensively that had made the claim that they had died and come back to life.
Okay.
Some of them had well-known books out already.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, in essence, the project.
Okay.
Now, I found some stories to be less than credible. And maybe not the stories, but the individuals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to go into the reasons for that.
Sure.
In detail. It's just that I was assessing the character of the person.
Sure.
I was assessing the story of the person. I was also assessing the corroborating evidence.
Sure.
And in some cases, piles of medical reports.
Wow.
One guy was hit head-on by a truck, and the paperwork was massive. This man biologically died. There's
sure.
no question about it.
I bet.
And so my goal was to pick the most credible, mm-hmm. to spend time with them, to interview them, and we have lots of footage
mm-hmm.
with doing the interviews, and getting to know them. And then I went through and I looked at what kinds of experiences they shared with me that had similarities with others.
Interesting.
So I picked six.
Okay.
For the book, I picked six that and I summarized what are they saying that's the same thing.
Got it.
Repeatedly, which we'll go into.
And we're going to talk about that in just
segment.
A few minutes.
Yeah.
But I think it's important here, you know, if you're listening at home saying, like I'm thinking, to be honest, anybody who tells me I was dead and I came back from the dead, something in me is going to be a little bit suspect.
Of course.
I would say good for you in this research project that you sort of separated the sheep from the goats and made sure that the people whose testimony you were incorporating into your research are credible.
Well, it obviously had to be.
Sure.
It had to be done with care because
right.
everybody's going to have that reaction.
Sure.
We seek after a sign as Jewish people.
Right.
People want proof. And I wanted it to be really credible.
Absolutely.
So we have lots more to talk about. This is such a big topic in the Bible. When you read the Bible, it's impossible to avoid this question about the afterlife, and we'll discuss it more in the next segment, but we do need to step away for a minute. You know, this conversation reminds me how urgent it is for us to continue to share the gospel with scattered Jewish communities around the world. I want to ask you to consider partnering with us to share Jesus with Jewish people so that they can have confidence about their afterlife. Yeshua is the answer. So please take a look, see how you can help us to do that right now.
There's more to this life than this life. For your gift of $40 or more to support the work of Jewish Voice and strengthen your own faith, Jonathan will send you his revelational book, A Rabbi Looks at the Afterlife. You'll never forget the testimonies of people who have personally experienced heaven and hell. We will also include the user-friendly study guide for the book, which will help you to be a doer of the word. Become a new Shalom partner for $30 a month, and we'll send you the book, A Rabbi Looks at the Afterlife, and the study guide, plus this 8x10-inch chalk art plaque confirming God's promise found in Jeremiah 29:11 to give you a hope and a future. Your generosity as a monthly Shalom partner helps us share the gospel with Jewish people around the world who are unsure about what happens in their afterlife. As Jonathan can confirm, this life-changing work is clearly evident in our work on behalf of Ukrainian refugees. Will you partner in this work? Please call this toll-free number. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code. Or mail your gift to the address on the screen. On behalf of the many Jewish people standing on the threshold of eternity, thank you so much.
Welcome back to Jewish Voice, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. If you are an ongoing Shalom partner, your monthly support is so important to us. I want to challenge you today to prayerfully consider giving an extra gift if you can to help those in need around the world. We would be forever grateful. It's an investment, isn't it, Ezra?
It is. Thank you for sowing into not just the lives, transforming lives, but sowing into the eternities of Jewish people and their neighbors around the world.
Well, it just so happens that's our topic today. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about the afterlife. There is a life after this. In fact, the Bible says that this life is like a vapor. What profits a person if they gain the whole world during this vapor period, and they lose their own soul for eternity.
Right.
That's a long time, isn't it, Ezra?
It
eternity.
It is. This is, in a way, a dress rehearsal for our eternity, hopefully with the Lord, serving Him in His kingdom. Jonathan, let's dive right back into the research process that you did, the research project, which went on over a period of months and years, really extensive.
Yeah, over a year.
You interviewed people who didn't know one another, but you heard some themes from one testimony to the other, right? Different people dying either clinically or biologically in different parts of the world. They had no overlap in their life story, and yet there were similar things that they said.
Yeah, I had no idea, by the way, that there was a difference between biological and clinical death. Right. I learned so much during this period. And then I spent time with 12 people. We had dinners together. We spent a lot of time doing interview footage. A lot of it we didn't show on the program, but there were hours of footage.
Sure.
And some of them just didn't click for me. They just didn't, either getting to know the person or some of the information or the lack of corroboration, I just decided I don't want to feature this. But six of them were outstanding.
Okay.
Just outstanding.
All right.
One that had actually spent time in hell. Experiencing, I don't think the extent of hell, but came back with a very, very clear message that there is an eternity that exists, a state of eternity separated from God. And it's a horrific thing to be separated from God. People say, I'm going through hell on this earth. Not after you hear this story. Separation from God, where there's complete darkness, let alone the gnashing of teeth, is just a horrific thing. And I think Yeshua, Jesus, took this very, very seriously.
Right.
So that's another question. But I think the question is, what was the commonality? What did I hear
exactly
with those that were really credible repeatedly? Well, the first thing was an observation, and that was no fear of death at all.
On the back end of the experience.
They had absolutely no fear of dying. In fact, they wanted to get back there as quickly as they could. Now, the reason that they didn't go out and jump in front of a car is because they were sent back with a mission. And they were compelled to fulfill the mission.
Wow.
But there was almost a sadness, like I have to endure this world, this stinky, this decaying world, so that I can get back there. I can fulfill my mission.
But that's something we've been talking about throughout this episode, right? Is the idea of destiny and eternity, right? Or purpose and eternity. And what I'm hearing you say is that when people had a glimpse, the curtain was peeled back into their eternity, it clarified their destiny here on earth. It clarified their purpose.
Clarified their purpose, but they couldn't wait to get back.
Interesting.
Like they had already seen the end game. They wanted out of here.
Wow.
All of them had a sense of decay, that this earth was filled with decay, and the place that they had spent time in, some of them for what they were out of the realm of time and space, but for them was a long period of time.
Sure.
There was no decay, and they were so present of decay here, and they wanted... I could give you examples because we've worked in the third world.
Sure.
But I get a picture of, I have a very clear picture of what they were saying.
Sure.
They just didn't like the sights, they didn't like the smells, they didn't like the colors anymore because they had been introduced to something that was so much vibrant and nicer.
Wow. That's so interesting.
Across the board, Ezra, not one person, all of them.
I'm thinking of Paul in the New Testament, and Paul didn't have a near-death. I mean, he had many near-death experiences because he was beaten so many times and arrested and, you know, on the edge of death for the sake of the gospel. He didn't die and come back, but yet he said, his summary was, you know, to live is Christ. To live is to live the life of Messiah, laying down my life so that others might live. But to die is gain. To die would be better.
Right.
And it sounds like that's the testimony of these
people.
He
didn't even have the same experience they had, but he had enough of an experience to be able to say that the suffering of this present age isn't, and this is really for you, please listen to this, the suffering that you're enduring isn't to be compared with the riches that lie ahead.
That's right.
That's eternity.
That's right.
That's the afterlife. So they all had this sense, it's so much better. The fact that they had no fear of dying, in fact, they wanted to die again and get back there, strengthened my faith. It did something for me, Ezra, that is hard to communicate, and I'm tearing up thinking about it. Because to experience people that had no fear whatsoever of death, it's a veil for me. There's still a mystery and an uncertainty They had none.
Right. You know,
they had none.
The Old Testament and the New Testament both say the same thing. And looking at the victory of the death and resurrection of the Messiah, it says, where, O death, is your sting?
Yes.
Where, O grave, is your victory? It's gone when we understand what
totally
Jesus has done.
Totally gone, and it strengthened my faith. And I think you'll be strengthened reading their story. One more really quickly is worship. They all experienced a profound level of worship that was beyond anything human.
Wow.
And they remember it like it was yesterday.
Incredible.
And they want it back.
Now, one more thing comes to mind. I imagine a number of these people died because of injury or some kind of trauma. Were they healed of that in their afterlife experience? And then what happened when they came back to their body?
That's a good question. So yes and no is the answer. They were healed enough to function, but many of them carry the scars and the pains of whatever took their life. Don Piper was hit head on by a truck. He has the pain, continual pain that accompanies that experience in his body.
Wow.
So, but he was free from it when he died, of course.
So even further awareness of what a better situation it is to be with the Lord in eternity than to be here in these bodies of death, as Paul says.
Absolutely. This is, a friend of mine calls this an earth suit.
Right.
And the earth suit gets beaten up and older and decays. And it's the point you get out of your earth suit and experience that is an incredible thing.
Right. I'm thinking of the verse, for as in Adam all of us die, so in the Messiah, in Christ, shall we all be made alive.
Yeah, you can imagine the aches and pains after being in something pretty violent and suffering a violent death.
Right.
And I recall a few that were really violent. Mm-hmm. Those pains haven't left their body completely. Wow. Mm. They've been healed to the extent that they can function and fulfill their destiny.
Right.
But they're looking to get back to a pain-free existence.
All the more desire to be with the Lord, healed, restored in eternity.
There's one better one that they all had in common. They all were reunited with family and friends. This is one I didn't want to forget to mention. Hmm. They're all reunited with family and friends. They saw friends that had passed on early on in life, and they recognized them right away. In many cases, there was a welcome party as soon as they arrived, and they recognized everyone and the role that that person had in their salvation. Well, Ezra and I are going to pray for your needs in just a minute. But first, our announcer is going to share an incredible opportunity for you to support Jewish Voice medical outreaches that will allow us to share the gospel with Jewish communities around the world. I want to ask, will you partner with us? Please listen, and then we'll pray with you right after this.
There's more to this life than this life. For your gift of $40 or more to support the work of Jewish Voice and strengthen your own faith, Jonathan will send you his revelational book, A Rabbi Looks at the Afterlife. You'll never forget the testimonies of people who have personally experienced heaven and hell. We will also include the user-friendly study guide for the book, which will help you to be a doer of the word. Become a new Shalom partner for $30 a month, and we'll send you the book, A Rabbi Looks at the Afterlife, and the study guide, plus this 8x10-inch chalk art plaque confirming God's promise found in Jeremiah 29:11 to give you a hope and a future. Your generosity as a monthly Shalom partner helps us share the gospel with Jewish people around the world who are unsure about what happens in their afterlife. As Jonathan can confirm, this life-changing work is clearly evident in our work on behalf of Ukrainian refugees. Will you partner in this work? Please call this toll-free number. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code or mail your gift to the address on the screen. On behalf of the many Jewish people standing on the threshold of eternity, thank you so much.
Another piece of great news is that God not only wants you to experience the afterlife, eternal life, but abundant life here and now.
That's right.
And I know that many of you have prayer needs. We've seen the emails coming in. We've seen them come in from the website. We've received letters from you. that you need prayer for family members to be restored, for healing, and some of them are pretty severe. I know that I've lost more than a dozen friends during COVID. Many of you are experiencing the loss of loved ones, and you just need the peace of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. Yeah. You feel separated from the Lord, and you just need restoration. You just need renewal, and God is listening. God cares. He loves you. And so, Ezra, if we're just going to join our faith together
Absolutely.
With everyone, and we'll continue praying for you. Lord, we thank you for those that partner with this ministry mm-hmm. and for those that are watching right now, not by accident. We pray for their needs. We pray, Father, for the restoration of their families. We pray for the salvation of their children and grandchildren. We pray for healing. And Lord, just the thing that's on my heart, most importantly, Lord, would you restore their hope?
Amen.
Would you renew their faith? Would you give them this a sense of certainty that you are watching over them, that you haven't forgotten them? Lord, may your presence be felt in their homes and their lives in a very tangible and clear way.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for your grace, that in the midst of hardship comes the grace. In the midst of hardship comes a renewed Amen. Touch from you. Lord, thank you for your grace and for your presence in Yeshua's name, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to our website. It's jewishvoice.tv. You can also send us your prayer request right on the website. We have a team here at Jewish Voice committed to reading your prayer requests and praying for you by name. And we believe in the power of prayer and we care about you. But more important, God cares about you and he's watching over you. So we close our program today. I want to ask you, as I do in every program, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the Jewish people. Pray for their salvation. Pray for the divine protection of the Lord over a land and a people that are part of God's destiny. Will you please? The Bible says they shall prosper who love thee. We're out of time. Until next time, this is Jonathan Bernis along with Ezra Benjamin saying shalom and God bless you.
Join us in celebrating Israel's 75th anniversary by participating in our virtual 5K, April 24th to the 30th. Register now at jewishvoice.org/blessisrael.